Just so you're all aware, for the first 25 minutes of the podcast, the sound will be fine. But for the last 10 minutes, unfortunately, my mic stopped recording and I had no idea. So the sound goes to my phone microphone, which is fantastic. How professional, but anyway, you know how these things go. Hello, cuties. We are back with another episode, episode 5. Yay! And today I thought, let's dial it back to the beginning, introduce myself properly so you all get to know my story, because, you know, there's a lot of FAQs I get, which means frequently asked questions, in regarding my journey with K-pop and how I got into it and, you know, who caught my attention, blah, 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 blah. This, I was gonna actually make it just one episode this week and do this for an hour, but I thought I'll split it. And the first half is essentially all about me and all that kind of stuff, and then the second half, which will be episode 6, will be about the realities of being a content creator and what the K-pop community is like, the good and the bad and the ugly. So hope everyone's well, hope your week was good. I know this week has been a little bit nuts with Iran and it's not real, and, you know, and that mad orange man making things worse, but also whatever. But, you know, you just have to get on with it, I guess, because what else can we do? We just have to, like, live. These wars are nothing new. I know it feels like the world is ending now, but remember, they've been doing this for decades. Just back then, we didn't have TikTok to make us anxious, but unfortunately, the Middle East has suffered quite a lot. And it's not the first time, so we kind of have the privilege of, like, oh, we're scared, but more likely than not, we are safe. It's the people there that we have to worry for, and hope one day, these Western powers crumble. But anyway, that's not what this podcast is about, but, you know, you have to stay informed. But just to let you know, I see you if you're worried and anxious, honestly. Don't be, just enjoy life as it is now, because this is nothing new and it will be better off for it in the future. Right, so how did I get into this lovely genre we call K-pop? And also, why did I stay? Because, I don't know, it's not something that feels like someone who's an adult should be obsessed with. But also, something I've learned about myself is I am a child. My inner child is very dominant in how I move through life, whether it's, and it's such a good thing. I think more people should be like that. Don't ignore your inner child that wants you to be happy or do something silly just for the sake of it. Find joy where you find it. And I listen to my inner child a lot. My inner child can be selfish. My inner child can say, no, I don't want to do that. I want to sit here. And I do it. And I feel so much better for it. And I think you become a better human being the more selfish you are. I talk about this with my friends all the time. It's like, they branded selfishness. I don't know who they are, but they make it seem like it's such an awful thing to be selfish. But like they say on the planes, put your own mask on first before you try to help anyone else. So tend to your needs, because the second you try to do martyr, and you're helping everyone else, and then, you know, you're like years on the line, I did so much for people and I lost so much, and they'll be like, we didn't ask you to. Even the ones that asked, they especially will be the first ones to say, we didn't ask you to. So do things for yourself. The people who judge you for it are only envious that they can't do what they want for themselves. So how it all started was, actually, there was this guy I was friends with years ago, like 2012. We were at his, and he randomly showed me to anyone, I'm the best, nigga, J Chalaka. And, you know what, let me actually screen record this so I can actually do the usual kerfuffle and show you a lot of the music as I speak. That way, it saves me the effort of then editing it later on. Work smarter, not harder. So yeah, I guess, you know, and it's funny because obviously at that time, Gangnam Style, I think I'm the Best was first, I think. And then Gangnam Style probably came like that year or the year later. Either way, it was around that time. I'm really curious how he actually discovered it, but he puts on his video and I'm like, oh, okay, very flashy, very OTT, and they, and these women are dancing and they look grown as well, and they're hitting this choreo. I was like, oh, okay, this eats. Oh my god. So yes, that was my first intro into K-pop. But as you lot know, and you lot love this about me, I am a very consistent person. I wasn't pulled in at this point simply because I don't love EDM. I would never like EDM. Even at the time when, remember, this is the time that it was at its biggest, I didn't like it. I specifically remember feeling miserable. I think, was it 2009 was just an awful year musically, and it was an awful year TV wise. It's like, as soon as Obama became president, everything changed the following year. And I think there was actually an article on this and how everything was like super white, and there's like, they needed to a reaction to Obama being president. I remember reading something about that, which I thought was interesting. And this is also why people say, I don't do politics. Politics isn't everything. If you don't do politics, trust me, politics does you every night, raw, with no lube. So I remember, like, just 2009, I remember just not feeling music. So I've always been passionate about enjoying music. And then the 2010s era came, which is the disco dance EDM era that I fucking loathed. Even though 2009, we had the amazing Lady Gaga debut. But anyway, with this song and the video, I saw the appeal and I kind of was like, okay. And mind you as well, when he showed me that, it wasn't like he was saying anything like, you know, oh, this is K-pop and this is a whole other groups. It was kind of like, oh, look, this is what, I think he only just said Asian at the time, but he must have called it K-pop. I don't know. But it was a very throw off, like, it didn't seem like it was a big world, you know, so I didn't really take it that seriously. I just kind of went, oh, okay, oh, nice. And that was it. That was my true first impression of K-pop. And then years went by. I do remember in 2017 when Jonghyun passed away, I remember seeing his picture on Twitter just being like, it was super, like, whatever. But once again, that was on the outskirts. I didn't really expect, you know, look deeper than that. And then from 2018 into 2019, you know, I'm hearing BTS, like, it was, they were everywhere. All I kept hearing was just like this group. And I distinctly remember, I think I actually know the exact date, because I'm sure I sent this to one of my friends. It was April. It was somewhere in April 2019. I was like, okay, let me just check out one of these performances. And you know what's funny? It's wild how the mind works, because you don't have to, it doesn't take much energy to click on something, right? But we are all lazy, funny enough, to check things out. Even if it is just clicking a button, you have to make an active choice to be like, ugh, especially if it's something that is so alien to you. So I went out of my way. Then I clicked this performance. Oh my god. Like, the live band and their styling, everything, and their hair. And the band just sounds so good. I'm gonna get you. Oh my god. So like, it's crazy how one little decision like that changed the course of my life. I remember just, I don't even know if I can really remember what I felt at the time, but there was a sense of, like, I think also that song was right up my street. It's a beautiful pop song. The strings are gorgeous. The listen, mama, baby, nun. That melody is just so pretty, and just it was a perfect song for me to be hooked. And the band sounded really good as well. So I remember just watching it and be like, oh my god, wait, what? And then immediately the standout, if you're watching on camera, if you're watching this the visual of this podcast, you can see the screen recording of the performance. And you can see Jimin with his pink hair. I remember just thinking, who is the guy with the pink hair? And from then, I was obsessed with him specifically. I just thought he was so enigmatic. And he had this sassy kind of like oomph to him. And, you know, this is someone who I'm completely unaware of this massive industry and the standard of performance. And I don't know what any of this means. So I was just so drawn by him. I was like, his confidence, the style, the earrings, everyone's got the hair colors as well. The song sounded good. And then from then on, I was pretty much an army. So for people who don't know, and I should do an episode about that as well, actually, fucking fandom names, which we should thank Mariah Carey for. Mariah Carey was the first artist to have a fandom name. The Lambs, we are. And she didn't even make it. But anyway, that's a story for another time. So, yes, that performance, I was hooked, then I was into BTS, and then I remember also, and the funny thing is, even though this wasn't lockdown, it feels like it was lockdown, but I remember I was working at a VFX company as a receptionist at the time, and it was a perfect job because we didn't do shit. Like, all we had to do was sort up some entry cards so you could spend all day on YouTube. It was absolutely fine. And answer calls and emails every now and then. So I spent a lot of time on YouTube listening to and watching just like BTS variety shows, variety content, which is something that is particularly attractive about K-pop, is the amount of content you get as a fan. You can see these artists rehearse the songs, you see the dance practice, you see them recording the songs, then you also get their variety shows when they're at home, they're on holiday. On another side, you kind of think, yikes, because we're seeing every part of your life, but we also see so much yet know so little at the same time. It's such a good balance. But yeah, I remember getting into the variety shows, and then what really dragged me into the fucking the sunken place was the ships, and especially between Jimin and Jungkook, and getting into them, I was like, wait, are they together? Are they a thing? And to anyone else, if you saw the videos I saw, I don't think anyone can blame you for thinking that they are a couple, because Jimin didn't make it a secret. When they were younger, he was like, I'm obsessed with Jungkook. And, you know, that could be layered, and sexuality and all that stuff is such a layered thing. You could, because of closeness and you're going through those hormones, you could act on things. It might not mean anything in the long run. It doesn't define what box you're in sexually, but things can happen. But anyway, I was obsessed by that, and I was like, oh my god, wait, is this what's happening in Korea? Wait, what? And I thought also, BTS is one of the funniest groups when it comes to their variety content, which had me even more hooked. And I was like, this is it. Like, oh my god. So that's pretty much where my journey started. And with BTS, to be honest, their music wasn't their biggest draw for me. It was more everything else, because they're a more rap-focused group because of their leader, RM. And they started off as RM, J-Hope, and Suga from what I remember. So they started off as, you know, a rap unit, and then they ended up adding in the singers. So the music was very rap heavy, and also at that time, 2019, it was the mic drop, like it was the intense music, which is not my bag. But anyway, the beauty of me working at that place was that they also, so in the massive reception area, you could take over the music and play what you wanted. So naturally, I became the DJ there. And I would search for this playlist, and I would search into some more K-R&B. And then that's when I discovered this beautiful song. Hey baby, 내 옆에 멀었어야 쳐다보지 마야 내 거야 커튼을 걷어주면 입을 맞추거나 다시 내 옆에는 워커 음악을처럼 feels like I'm in heaven 어디에도 내 행복에 대해서 너인 것 같아 부탁한 선물은 없을 것 같아 이곳은 아무도 모르는 내 swimming pool 하루 종일 너는 여기서 하고 있어 Diving in my pool 파도 차 I was like, wait, hold the fuck up, because you know, that's when I was like, no, this is too much, because that's, I wasn't expecting that. So I would add those songs onto the playlist and play it in the reception, and it would sound so good. And then I was in a deep hole, and through that also discovered this beautiful song. Hoodie. So the first song was Woods by Woods, called Pool, and this one's Why by Hoodie. So the K-R&B section, I was like, okay, what's going on? This is great. So I'm getting in deeper, and then eventually I stumble across this gem. Oh, it's so tempting to play the whole song, but then no, I'll go over my time limit. No, we'll do the bridge. And if you've never heard that song before, and you're like, why does it sound familiar? It was produced by the same people who produced Tyrese, How You Gonna Act Like That, The Stereotypes, I think, Harvey Mason, I don't know, and I'm just making shit up. But yeah, that song... So it's called What If by EXO. So EXO was kind of, EXO and BTS are like rivals in terms of popularity. And EXO definitely had more of the R&B songs. So they pulled me in. And I distinctly remember also when they released this song, which I was hooked. And I kind of wish I'd started my YouTube earlier, because at this point, I was falling in love with these songs off camera. Whereas if I could go back and relive it, oh, that'd be amazing. But yeah, when EXO came out with this, that chord change and atmosphere change, which is them joints, phenomenal take. Hearing stuff like that is exactly why I love K-pop so much, because as much as people are like, oh, it's a genre that's redundant and made up, okay, it stems from that, but it's also built so much of experimentation that we've never gotten in the West to that level, because it can be quirky, it can throw you off guard, and it has those magical elements that you just don't get anywhere else. So I remember hearing that, and then I was deep in, and initially I was going to do a whole K-pop night, which I did do one night, February 29th, 28th, after the Super M concert, which I went to in 2020, and we all know what happened in 2020. I then obviously couldn't carry on doing the K-pop nights, and then a few months in, once I saw Jeff's YouTube channel, and I actually became friends with him, and then I kind of went to him, oh, do you know what? Maybe I'll start doing reactions of my friends, because I've got so many friends around me who are dancers, singers, producers. I went to music college. Like, maybe I'd film them and do like a BuzzFeed-esque, you know, kind of look into showing people K-pop. And that's basically how that all that started. And I started filming Ola, then I filmed Albert and whatnot. And then filmed a whole archive of videos, and then I started posting in September in 2020, and that's how my channel was born. And then also to go back into K-pop specifically and what made me stay, it was so refreshing to experience male masculinity in a way that is softer, in a way that's not over sexualized, and I can actually enjoy the music without the men talking about oh, this pussy this and vagina this and I'll fuck her. It's just like, there's just no vulgarness. It was just so innocent in a way that is just so digestible for, because in the West, when you're queer, a lot of mainstream music doesn't see or include you. Everything is all about heterosexual love, and you know, they're singing for this girl that they're in love with, which I don't relate to. I'm like, good for you, but also, do you even love them? Because you lot are so misogynistic as fuck. So you lot are lying. So at least in this instance, there was so much more focus on just the music being great without having to sell sex along with it. And that made me so comfortable and so at home. And then also in the things with the male masculinity, going back to BTS as well, the variety shows, they would have episodes where they talk about their training days, sitting around the campfire, and they wrote poems to each other, and you know, they're so comfortable crying and hugging each other, because you know, in a lot of Asian countries, how men can hug and hold each other in a way that's not as common in the West. Obviously there's some men over there that are like, oh, don't do that as well, that still exists, but you're less likely to see it felt like at the time. So that made me feel so comfortable and so at home. So on one hand, I'm experiencing music and so much more content than I could consume, and this massive like array of, there's so many artists and there's so much this and so much talent, but also I'm seeing masculinity in a way that is just so refreshing and just so it would just tug at your heartstrings. And once, obviously, mind you, now we're getting into COVID times in lockdown, it was just hours and hours of things you could consume, and also showing people this amazing genre that I'm in love with. And also at that time, at the time it was so easy to just collect people and just be like, look at this thing, because we all had time on our hands, and it just felt a lot calmer. We could just discover things and no one had to go to work. You know, we could just be in it and enjoy. And that's how really and truly at that point I was discovering more artists. And at the time I was only into boy groups, which is crazy because now I'm No, I wouldn't even say I'm the exact opposite. I'm right balanced in the middle now. I love both equally. And I remember just getting, discovering Taemin through Super REM, which then led me to Shiny, and then which led me to all these other artists. And some of my favorite songs that I pretty much discovered around that time were Replay. When did I actually discover Replay? Which is a Shiny's debut song, one of the best debut songs of all time. I don't know when I would have discovered it, but Shiny's first album, I remember it gagging me so much. That album is R&B through and through. Let me just show you a lot, Replay, in case you don't know it. So yeah, that was like, oh my god, there's even more artists with even more music. So that's pretty much how I got into K-pop and why I stayed. It was the combination of all of that, and the reason why I'm still here and the love is even getting more intense is simply because the music is getting better. Oh my god, the music this year has been the best I've heard. The concepts are amazing. Everything is just where I want it to be in every way, visually and sonically. My takeaway from this episode would be to people, whatever finds you joy, go to it. Because other people are allowed to have their little silly quirks and whatever, and people let them be. So, you know, don't let anyone dissuade you from doing that, because that me clicking that video literally changed my life. Clicking one video on YouTube that was recommended to me changed my life. And so anything that you're curious about checking out and you're like, just do it. Life is too short. Like, find joy, go to what makes you happy. So to end this episode, let me recommend some songs. Let me recommend three of my last favorite songs in the last few years, in the most recent few years, in K-pop. First, I'll play them as well. We'll do TXT, I Know I Love You, which was one of my favorite. If you watch my reactions to that, I was obsessed. I'll just play the chorus for this as well. Just being like, that's one of those moments where I was like, K-pop does this? Like, there was no, you don't hear that anywhere, like, anymore. And even still, the execution just wouldn't be the same. That song, even hearing it now, it just makes me feel emotional still. And this was my favorite song from last year. Don't change. song, the production, everything. Ah, and then last but not least, what was my favorite song in K-pop for a very long time? That. And when you listen to the song, just bear in mind that anyone who knows me should know that my favorite decade of music is the 80s. I would actually pay for them to cover that. But yeah, that chord change, the key change into the chorus and the 80s groove. And how could I forget to mention that is, of course, Girls' Generation with Express 999. Yeah, that was, I feel like that flew a lot quicker than I thought it would, but that pretty much covers how I got into K-pop, what made me stay, and why I'm still here. So for until the next one, if you have any other questions or things that you're curious about, let me know, and yeah, I'll see you in the comments. Ciao!